Hello, everybody. We're Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Our daughter, Kelly, is teaching on the broadcast today. And let me tell you something. Of course, we're like other parents and grandparents. I mean, we're thrilled with our children. We're thrilled not only with the fact that they're our children, but I'll tell you, their growth and their spiritual lives are not dependent on us as parents or grandparents. I mean, our grandkids know more about standing and walking in faith than we did when we went in this ministry.
Oh, by far.
Gloria and I do not share this table or this pulpit or this ministry with anybody because they're our children, because of their financial statement, or because we're trying to impress them or you. Nobody comes behind this holy desk unless the Holy Ghost has instructed it to be that way, and unless they have the anointing of God in their lives, and unless they know what they're talking about and they have something to say that our partners need to hear. And this is true with our children, it's true with our grandchildren, it's true with any other ministry. That is our stand on the Word of God. So Kelly's not here because she's our daughter. She's here because she is an anointed woman of God with a specific ministry and calling in her life. And she has something to say that will help you in your life. In Jesus' name.
What happens when you point your heart toward pleasing God? Find out on today's Believer's Voice of Victory with guest Kelly Copeland.
Have you ever asked yourself the question, or actually, have you ever asked the Lord, does this please you? Is what I'm about to do going to please you, Lord? You know, if we would ask that question every day about everything that we did, we could hit the mark 100% of the time, because the things that please the Lord are the things that are going to set us on the right path. And you know what? That's what He wants for us. He wants the blessing of God in our lives. He wants our lives to reflect His mercy. He wants our lives to reflect His love for us. But when we don't obey, when we don't do the things that He asks of us, then our lives don't look right. You know, you can look in Deuteronomy where it says, if you obey, all of these blessings will overcome you and they'll overtake you. But when you don't obey, it goes on to list all the things that are negative that happen in your life. You know, you could probably, if things are happening in your life that are not the way you want them, you could probably go over to Deuteronomy and find those in that chapter where it talks about the curses on your life. And it's not God cursing you. God is the blesser. But the devil, the enemy, he brings about the curse. But it's when you disobey God that you put yourself in a place for the curse to happen in your life. And so I want you to kind of look at your life today. Are you doing things that please Him? Are you living your life to please Him? You know, we can do things that please Him without the motivator of pleasing Him. That doesn't make sense. Let me do that again. We can have pleasing Him. If pleasing Him is our motivator and that's our motivation for everything that we do, even the good things that we do are at a higher level because we've done them as unto Him, the way the Word says. So we're talking this week and next week about living to please God. And we started off by talking about Adam and Eve and how they failed to live to please the Lord, failed to obey Him and what He had asked of them. And so yesterday we looked at Saul and how he failed to do what the prophet of God told him to do. Samuel told him, you wait and I'll be there. He said, I'll come. And he said, you just wait. And the Word says that Saul went ahead and sacrificed the burnt offerings himself because he got tired of waiting on Samuel. And just as he was finished making his own plan and doing things his own way, Samuel showed up and he said to him, you've not kept the command of the Lord that He gave you. You know, all the command of the Lord in that time came through Samuel. God would instruct Saul through Samuel. So he said, you didn't obey what God said for you to do. You didn't try to please God. And he said, If you had, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But he said, now your kingdom must end because God has sought out a man after his own heart. So the Lord told Samuel, you're not a man that's after my own heart. You're not a man whose goal it is to please me. And you know what? I think we see the proof of it. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. In Samuel, 1 Samuel 15, it just really, I think, shows where Saul's heart was. And even with the correction that he received over doing things his own way and going his own way, he received correction from Samuel. But even after that, his heart was not to please the Lord. And so let's look at that. Samuel, 1 Samuel 15, it says, one day Samuel said to Saul, this is the first verse, it was the Lord who told me to anoint you as king of his people Israel. Now listen to this message from the Lord. In other words, hark, God, this is God speaking. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies has declared. I have decided to settle accounts with the nation of Amalek for opposing Israel when they came to Egypt. You know what? This is a serious matter. God didn't even address this as, hey, Saul, it's me, God here speaking. No. You know, it's one thing for the president to say good morning to someone, but when the commander in chief says something, everybody needs to listen. You can tell when it's just the president, and then you can tell when it's the commander in chief is speaking. Well, God says here, listen to this message from the Lord. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies has declared. In other words, Saul, I'm about to give you some fighting advice. I'm about to give you some fighting instructions. I'm the commander in chief. This is what you need to do. He says, I have decided to settle accounts with the nation of Amalek for opposing Israel when they came from Egypt. Now go, this was his marching orders, go and completely destroy the entire Amalekite nation, men, women, children, babies, cattle, sheep, goats, camels, and donkeys. Now I told you the other day that we may not operate this way, but God operates that what he says, he means. Now, we may mean other things when we talk, and we shouldn't. We need our words to reflect what we want in our life. But God never says what he doesn't mean. He said, destroy them all. He was very clear. Everybody and everything. So it says, Saul mobilized his army, and he goes on to describe that. And then it says in verse 7, then Saul slaughtered the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, east of Egypt. He captured Agag, the Amalekite king, but completely destroyed everyone else. Saul and his men spared Agag's life and kept the best of the sheep and the goats, the cattle, the fat calves, and the lambs. Everything, in fact, that appealed to them. They destroyed only what was worthless of poor quality. Let's talk about that for a minute. You know, the other day we talked about how when the enemy came to Eve, he began to talk to her about that tree that God had already told her, don't eat it or you'll die. And Satan began to talk to her about this tree. He says, did God really say that? You won't die. And she says, yeah, God said this, but it says then she began to be convinced. And she saw with her eyes, she began to look on that tree and began to see things the devil's way and saw it differently than what God had said. Look at this. It says, everything that appealed to them. So with their eyes, they looked at these cattle, these fine cattle and fine lambs and sheep and the goat, and they look at this king, and I don't know what they're thinking. Surely we can do something with this king, get a ransom. I don't know what they were thinking exactly. But the problem was they were thinking. They're thinking instead of listening to God. How many times does that mess us up? God tells us an instruction. Use your faith. God tells us an instruction. By his stripes you're healed. And yet we begin to see with our eyes the circumstances. We begin to look at reality. We begin to look at what's around us. We begin to question and we begin to wonder and we begin to make other plans besides what God told us to do. But if it's in our heart to please Him, we will do what God wants us to do. Even if our eyes tell us something different, we'll know God told me to do this, so I'm going to live my life to please Him. It really does take it beyond just being obedient to the letter of the law. It takes it into a heart issue where if He had said, you know what, it seems like we should leave this king alive. It seems like we shouldn't kill all these fine looking animals. The word says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of it is destruction. You cannot rely on your seemer when your heart is not to please God. When your heart is to please God, then you can trust what your heart is saying. But if he had had the right heart in this, because Samuel's already told him, God sought after a man who was after his own heart. Samuel was not that man. Samuel had forgotten how to have his heart be after God. Saul, I keep doing that. Saul had forgotten how to point his heart to God. And many of us as believers, many, many people go on about their daily lives and they forget to point their heart towards pleasing God. And so they'll do things thinking, I'm being obedient, but it's not the heart of God. Let's go on and read some more. It says, then the Lord said to Samuel, I am sorry that I ever made Saul the king, for he has not been loyal to me, and he has refused to obey my commands. Samuel was so deeply moved when he heard this that he cried out to the Lord all night. Early the next morning, Samuel went to find Saul. Where was Saul? Says someone told him Saul went to the town of Carmel to set up a monument to himself. Well, you know, when you fight your own battle and you feel like you've won a big battle, you'll go set up a monument to yourself. But when your heart is to please the Lord, you realize all the way through the battle that he's the one who brought you the victory. And your heart is towards him in that. But that's another heart indicator, is when you feel like, hey, I did that and I did it all by myself, no one helped, then that's a good indicator that your heart is not to please the Father. Says he set up a monument to himself and then he went on to Gilgal. Says when Samuel finally found him, Saul greeted him cheerfully. Now, I think this is a real indicator of where Saul's heart was, because, you know, when you mess up, I mean, we're going to talk about David, but one thing about David, when he blew it, his heart cried out. When he didn't obey God, he would cry. I mean, half the Psalms are like, oh, God, help me. You know, he's always saying, God, help me. Help me, help me. Deliver me. Forgive me. Have mercy upon me. Because when he blew it, he knew it. And it says here that when he found him, Saul greeted him cheerfully. So Saul's heart was not even bothered that he had not obeyed the Lord. He even felt like he had obeyed the Lord. It says, may the Lord bless you, he said. I have carried out the Lord's command. Now, how many of us have gone about our daily life thinking, hey, I went to church on Sunday. I said my prayers this morning. I even walked in love with the guy in the grocery store when it was difficult to do. I have carried out the Lord's command. But we've been stingy, or we've turned around and bit the head off of our coworker or our spouse or our children. We've had wrong motivations. We've worried about things, been in fear, whatever. Whatever has been instructed to us differently, sometimes we'll forget those things. We'll ignore those things. We do a couple of big things right, and we feel like, hey, I did it. Well, that's the way Saul was. It says he greeted him cheerfully. I've carried out the Lord's command. Yay, give me five. And he goes, I love Samuel's answer. It says, then what is all the bleating of the sheep and the goats and the lowing of the cattle that I hear? Samuel demanded. How much noise do we have in our lives that shouldn't be there? How much stuff and circumstances are making noise in our life? And we say, God, I have obeyed you. I don't know why things aren't working out right for me because I've done everything you told me to do. And the Lord says, well, then what's all this noise? What's all this strife? What's all this worry that you're doing about your house payment or your bills or your kids? Lord, I've done everything you told me to do. Then what's all that sickness in your body when I declared that you were healed? I know I'm stepping on some toes here. I'm getting tough because the Lord, he wants us to understand to be after his heart, to be after his ways, not just the laws, not just the rules, but after his knowing his heart, knowing his ways. And so Samuel said, what's all this noise I hear? If you've obeyed God and he told you to slaughter all these animals, what's the noise for? So, I think that there are things in our life that we go, oh, Lord, here's my whole life, but don't talk to me about this little thing. Lord, here's my whole life, but don't talk to me about this relationship. Lord, I give you my life and I love you so much, but don't talk to me about my eating habits. Don't talk to me about how I'm treating my wife or my husband. Lord, I trust you with my whole life, but no, I can't quit my job and go off into the ministry. Wouldn't make money. I can't do that. So you see how we like say, I've done everything you wanted, but don't talk to me about this little thing. And Saul's saying, I've given you everything. I've done everything you asked me to do, but I have a better idea about the animals and about King Agag. Samuel says, kill it all. And that's what the Lord's saying to you today. Kill it all. You know, even some things that we offer up to him, he can give them back to us. You know, maybe you have a love for a certain thing, a love for singing or a love for, a certain sport. You can give that to him. And many times he'll give it back to you and it'll be glorious because it'll be in the right place in your life. It won't be above him. It won't take precedence over him. You know, for many people, sports take that place where, you know, it's like, Lord, I love you, but I've got to do this. I've got to play sports. I've got to do this, you know, on Sunday or whatever. I can't go to church, Lord. I love you, but I can't do that. I know you feel like I ought to be there, but I've got to go do this. You can't do that. What you can do is say, Lord, I love you with all my heart, and I give this thing up to you, this desire, this sport, this thing that there's a passion in me for. I give it to you to please you with it. Now, Lord, what pleases you with it? Does it please you for me to go to this tournament on Sunday, or does it please you for me to be at church? You can't even assume what he's going to say. He may need you at that tournament. He may want you there. You can't assume what he's going to say. He may not. And he may say, I want you to be in church. I've got something for you there. Then what do? You lay that thing down. And then when he gives it back to you, he gives it back to you better than ever before. Better, more full. And now it's being able to be done as unto him. If you do that thing on your own without giving it to him and letting him minister it back to you, then you're trying to make your own way. And you're saying, Lord, you know, I know more about this than you do. I have to do this. And that's not a good place to be in. It puts you in this place where Saul was. And it says, it's true in verse 15. Saul says, it's true that the army spared the best of the sheep and goats and cattle, but they're going to sacrifice them to the Lord your God. Listen to that. I think it's interesting that he didn't even say the Lord my God. He's trying to convince Samuel and probably himself that he did the right thing. And he says here, hey, we're going to sacrifice them. Isn't that good? We destroyed everything else and these things that we left alive, we're going to sacrifice them. And I'm not trying to hound you sports fiends, but it's such a good example that I'm going to go ahead and use it again. You could say, hey, I'm going to witness to people. I'm going to use my talent for the glory of God. I'm going to be a big star and I'm going to use it for the glory of God. But you know what? That's great if that's what he has called you to. That's great if that's what he has asked you to do. It would have been great if God had said to Saul, Saul, I want you to go. I want you to kill everybody but King Agag. And I want you to kill everything, but I want you to leave the sheep and the goats and the cattle that look good. I want you to leave them all alive so you can sacrifice them to me. Then, if Saul had done that, he would have been right where he was supposed to be. But he didn't. And that's not what God said. And even though what God said may not have made sense, what God said came out of his plan. What God said came out of what he wanted, out of his intention as the Lord of heaven's armies. He's the Lord. He should be in charge. And he should be in charge of the king of Israel. And so those instructions came out of that place of authority. And it came out of God's desire to relieve Israel of some of its enemies. Do you see that? God had a plan and he knew. He knew what was supposed to happen. But Saul didn't know what the plan was. And he didn't know how everything was going to be affected. You don't know how your life is affected by your disobedience. But God does. And the things that he tells us to do are not just so he can be boss. It's not just so that he can have someone to boss around. He didn't create us so he could have someone to boss around. He created us so that he could love us. He created us so that he could build a wonderful world around us. And so he's telling them things to do that make that world better. And so, but Saul didn't listen. It says here, Samuel told him, although you may think little of yourself, you are the leader of the tribe of Israel, and the Lord has anointed you. The Lord sent you on a mission, and he told you, go and destroy the sinners until they're all dead. Why haven't you obeyed the Lord? Why did you rush for the plunder and do what was evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul continued to insist, I did obey the Lord, he said. I carried out the mission. And then later on, Samuel goes on to say, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice? He says, listen to me. Obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams. Obeying the Lord today is better than all the good things you could think of to do for him. He just wants you to do what he's asked you to do. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
For four decades, this has been the heart of Kenneth Copeland's ministry.
You put that word of God in your mouth and you say, Lord, you don't have to come down here and appear to me. Why, no, the faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
And in the audio series, You Are the Prophet of Your Own Life, Kenneth delivers in-depth teaching on the biblical principles that changed his life years ago and will change yours today.
When his word comes out of your mouth, he is obligated by his calling from the Almighty as Lord, head of the church, to see to it that all of heaven's authority is behind what you said.
Learn the key to enriching your faith and how to defeat worry and fear. This CD series outlines the lessons and delivers the teaching that will put your life into God's overflow.
We are the prophets of our own life.
To request your copy of You Are the Prophet of Your Own Life, log on to our website at kcm.org and order online. This 12 CD set by Kenneth Copeland is now available for just $25. To request your copy by phone, call toll-free 800-575-4455 or write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas 76192. Learn how the words you say affect every part of your life. Order your copy of You Are the Prophet of Your Own Life today.
Our product offer this week is You Are the Prophet of Your Own Life. Take the word of God that he speaks about you. Agree with it. Speak it out of your mouth and receive what God says about you. Receive. You know, it may be hard to believe the good things he says about you, but you trust him and please him by taking those words, by taking those things that he says about you and putting them out your mouth, and it will take you from defeat to victory. So please order this. We want you to have it. You know, to please God, you just start by accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you have never done that, I'm going to pray with you, and I want you to do that with me today. And maybe you did that a long time ago, but you haven't been living with the results of that salvation in your life. Maybe you haven't been living your life to please the Lord. Today, pray this with me and start all over again. Say, Father, I believe that you sent Jesus to take my place on the cross, to pay the price for my sin. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me brand new. Cause me to be like you. In Jesus' name, amen. It is that easy. Jesus lives in the inside of you now. And peace is going to begin to come from the inside out. But you know, the world's ways will crash in on you today just like they would yesterday if you don't begin to live your life to please Him. If you don't begin to learn what He's done for you. If you will write us and let us know that you prayed this prayer, we'll send you this free salvation package. You can learn about the Holy Spirit, learn about love, the secret to your success, how to study the Bible, and learn about who you are now in Christ Jesus. And you'll begin to see, how can I build my life to please the Father? Start reading your Bible in a different way. Start reading it with the thought, oh, it says to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to change this about my life so that I can please you, Lord, so that I can please you, Jesus. Please join me again tomorrow. We're going to continue to talk about Samuel. We're going to get into David, and then we're going to slip on into talking about Jesus. This is Kelly Copeland reminding you today that Jesus is Lord.
If you made Jesus your Lord and Savior today, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland welcome you to the family of God. They've put together a 5-book package to help you get started learning your Bible and understanding who you are in Christ Jesus. Request your free salvation package online when you log on to kcm.org. This is the year of the open door. Take hold of the promises of God and walk through the open door of the blessing this year. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you on the next Believer's Voice of Victory. Right in the middle of a busy life, stop and take a breath of spiritual fresh air. Pastors George and Terry Pearsons invite you to come to the 2007 Days of Refreshing, September 16th through 21st at Eagle Mountain International Church on the grounds of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Recharge your spirit and energize your faith as you sit under the life-changing teaching from Kenneth Copeland, Keith Moore, and Billy Brim. The 2007 Days of Refreshing, September 16th through 21st. For more information, go to emic.org. Couldn't make it to the Believers Conventions this year? Then log on to our free webcast at kcm.org and catch up on what you missed.
He sent Jesus to the cross to get me. I must be worth something here. Glory to God. Now, if you've ever violated the commandment of love, fear is that. Without repenting, fear is that. So just deal with it. It goes ahead to say, he that fears is not perfected in love. That's a sign. Just like a red light on your dashboard. That thing starts blinking. Do something. Don't just sit there and look at it.